PlayStation. Unchained.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to PlayStation Unchained. We're back. Yeah, we're back. I say that on every podcast nowadays. I hope you're doing well. Remember to go check out all the news and guides and all that over on PSU.com. Joining me, as always, is Gary. Hey, Gary.
Gary is here. Hello.
How is... Times are different, which is weird and confusing.
Yeah, it's awesome. We can control time an hour forward, an hour back, but, you know, we can't, you know, just make it 1970 again for some reason.
I mean, why would we want to?
I'm just saying, if people just can control time like this, why can't they just do whatever the hell they want?
Time control.
It's fucking annoying.
Do.
Just make up some shit. Just take away an hour. Give it back. Take it away. Give it back. I hate it. I
forward
hate
and back and then
this
forward and
fucking
back and then
one time change. I hate forward. It so much. Just pick one and stay with it.
I like it and I hate it. I like it because in America, your time change is earlier than us. So for the next 2 weeks, everything's an hour earlier for when I do stuff with Americans. It's great, but it's also confusing.
I just think it's garbage.
So,
because it's not necessary anymore.
It's why I haven't cooked dinner, even though I normally cook dinner before the podcast, because I forgot what time it was.
They change. Well, the time thing was for farmers, so they can get their crops done faster and earlier, and harvest earlier. But now none of that matters because everything is automated. Like they, like for the most part, I think like 90% of them don't go out there and harvest everything by hand anymore. So there's no need for the time change.
Wasn't they supposed to pass a bill to stop daylight savings?
They did pass the bill, and it's been sitting in the Senate for like 2 years waiting for them to vote on it. Because this is what our country does. They sit around.
And that voice is Alfonso. Hey, Alfonso.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing, mate? I hope everything went okay last week.
Yeah, I'm all right. My dad had a surgery. Everything turned out well. It's going to take him 8 to 10 weeks of physical therapy to, you know, to fully function well to start walking. But he's well, you know, just resting. But other than that, all is good.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know what? We started this episode by bringing everyone up. Let's just knock everyone down again, I feel like. Let's just start with the bad. I know we're not the anime podcast, but I feel like because of his impact in video games, that I feel like we could probably bring it up here anyway. Like, I feel like... I know a lot of people know him from Dragon Ball, but also if you're a big fan of Dragon Quest and I think Blue Dragon and the Chrono series, this information will also impact you. Next week as well, maybe we'll bring up, we'll have him. I feel like we should pay some respects to Akira Toriyama, who sadly passed away this weekend due to brain hemorrhage, I think it was, that we got told, though it is looking more like it might have been a form of cancer that took the wonderful man away.
Which would can lead to those.
So, thank you, Akira Toriyama, for all the different video games that you've brought into the world, and for everything else. I'm gonna be quiet for now, pay respects. Is there anything anyone wants to bring up before we move on to anything else, Gary?
Just thank you to him. You know, he introduced me to anime. If it wasn't for Dragon Ball, I don't think I would ever watch anime. I started with the original Dragon Ball and obviously moved on to Dragon Ball Z and Chrono Trigger, considered one of the greatest RPGs of all time. Dragon Quest, easily Japan's biggest franchise. He's contributed so much to that. His newest anime project, Sandland, is coming out here in a few months, so I'm sure a lot of people are going to check that out, since that's probably going to be his fully... I know Daima is coming out, but I don't know if that's obviously been fully finished with his touch on it, but Sandland is. So you know, go check that out. That's going to be, I believe, on Disney Plus and Hulu as well. But essentially, Daima is going to be the last anime project that we know of that he worked on. So yeah, it's sad, you know. He's, as Japan calls him, the father of manga, and so much anime has come from his inspirational work. And I think we all know that a lot of animes and a lot of mangas that are so popular now probably wouldn't even exist, at least not in the same the same way that we know them. You know, One Piece, Naruto, Bleach, most likely, just so many. So it's sad, and I'm pretty sure everybody is going to be doing some sort of tribute to him in their mangas and probably in the animes as well. So yeah, it sucks, but thank you to him.
And Gary, I mean Alfonso, sorry.
Yeah, it sucks. It's sad. It's devastating. No, he didn't start anime, but goddamn, he shortchanged the landscape of anime for the time he started to what we have now. Like Gary said, a lot of anime we wouldn't have today if it wasn't for him.
I kind of disagree with you you saying he didn't start anime. Well, he might not have started anime in Japan, but I feel like he started anime worldwide. Like I feel like he was the birth of anime outside of Japan.
Yeah,
like, he might not have started it actually in Japan, but at, like, for anyone else, Western world, he was the star of anime, in my opinion.
So he will be missed, and once again, I just want to thank you for his contributions to the anime world, because anime now is huge, and he's a big part of it.
I do feel like the next Dragon Quest will probably be the last one. I'd be shocked if they continue, or at least the original creator, because the original composer's passed away, rest in peace. Now the original artist has passed away. I feel like the person that's in charge will step away after this.
Yeah, Yuji Horii has talked about retirement for a while now. I believe since 10 he's been talking. No, not since, it's since 9. But he kept coming back, and at this point 12 will probably be the last one he does. Obviously 12 is going to be. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Because now depends on if Square will continue with someone else. Like, the original creators will. He will step away. As you're saying. Anyway, I'm gonna shut up.
I'm pretty sure it'll continue on. It's Japan's biggest franchise. You know, we talked about this. Like, people don't go to work, don't go to school. Things get shut down when the new Dragon Quest comes out. It's bigger than Final Fantasy there. So I'm pretty sure it'll continue, but as I was going to say, with Dragon Quest XII, we know that that's going to be a huge departure from the franchise it's going. More action RPG rather than the turn-based RPG it has been for so long. So that might be, you know, Yuji Horii's last title to that. And I'm sure he'll still, you know, contribute in some way, but I think it's going to be the last one he has full control and director over. So, yeah. It kind of sucks for him, too. You know, he's just lost two of his best friends now. So, now hopefully this kind of makes Square see, you know, a way to keep Toriyama's legacy alive in video games, where, you know, they can finally now go and actually remaster or remake Chrono Trigger. Even start porting over and remastering the old Dragon Quest games as well. We know the Dragon Quest 3 HD 2D remake is still in development, so maybe this is a way for them to keep his legacy alive.
Also, it'd be the first time Dragon Quest got released outside of... Well, it'd be the first time the Dragon Quest games got released in Europe, which would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think, 11 is the only one you guys got, right? Or did you guys get 10? No,
eight was our first.
9, sorry. 8 was the first one, yeah. Okay.
8 was the first one. Anything before 8 was never released. So... and same with the Chrono series. Like, you can buy the new, I think it's Chrono Cross HD.
Yeah.
You can buy that. But anything before that was never, we never got Chrono Trigger. That never got officially released.
Not even PC? It's not even on Steam for you guys?
I mean, it's on the PC version, but that's it.
Okay.
Like, I think there's a PC version, right? Because there's the current. Is there a PC?
Yeah, there is. There should be, yeah.
I'm trying to find them. I found Chrono Cross. But yeah, PlayStation 1999 and 2000. And then there was a... I thought there was a PS3 release.
No. No, the PS1 version was the last time. Well, no, DA came out on the DS. I think the DS one was the last, I guess you can say, console handheld release, if you don't count mobile.
No, but I thought there was like a PS1 collect like...
It came with Final Fantasy Chronicles. It was Final Fantasy IV and Chrono Trigger.
Over here, Final Fantasy Chronicles was just one game, I think, right? What was Chronicles here? Final Fantasy Chronicles, I think, was just 4 here. Because it never had Chrono Trigger with it.
Yeah, no, ours had Final Fantasy IV and Chrono Trigger. It was also the first time they had Akira Toriyama went in and created brand new anime cutscenes for it. So that was really cool. They had an anime opening and anime introduction for some of the characters, which was really cool.
Okay, never mind. Chronicles is only an NA release.
Okay.
Because then Anthology, we got Anthology. I'm looking on Wiki because I can't remember. I've got them nearby anyway if need be, but PAL version. Anthology, sorry, was different here. Okay, that's interesting. Oh yeah, because 6 was sold separately. So that was it. Yeah, that was it. Your Anthology was 5 and 6, right? Ours was 4 and 5. And then 6 was sold on its own.
That's wild.
And 6 was sold on its own with the demo of 10.
Yeah.
So you got a demo of Fantasy 10 with 6. Which was weird because you got a PS1 game with a PS2 demo.
Yeah, with a PS2 demo.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I remember that, yeah. I know there was some weird stuff that went on. I couldn't remember exactly what releases were which, but yeah, I do remember it just being so weird. Because, yeah, I remember buying 6 so I could play the demo of 10 and then finding 10 came out like a couple of days later. It was weird. Oh, I played that demo so much. But no, thank you, Toriyama, for everything you've done. You will live on in video games and anime, movies, music. Everything.
Oh, his legacy will live on forever.
Yeah,
he's a legend, and I'm sure Japan is going to dedicate an entire day to him. So, as they should, because Mexico's already doing it. Dragon Ball is apparently insanely popular in Mexico. So,
yeah, I saw that. Did you not see that? What's good? The Mexican government had to make an apology during the Jiren fight.
Because they had an illegal showing of it, yeah.
No, it wasn't a legal showing. It's just that there was so many... No, it wasn't. No, it was completely legal. What happened was there was just so many people watching this, having so many massive screens on at the same time. So many people had, like, everything on running at the same time that there was too much power, and it caused power cuts.
Wow.
Like, there was too many, like, social events going on where people were watching the same thing at the same time. It just caused the entire country to go into a blackout. So they had to apologize because of the blackouts from the energy drain from watching Dragon Ball.
Crazy. he was so beloved. Even the Prime Minister of China, in a press conference acknowledged it and thanked him for his work. That's insane.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I learned that the death symbol for Dragon Ball is the Kamehameha. Like if you want to say Dragon Ball, it looks like the Kamehameha. It's crazy. It's crazy. So many world leaders came out and it shows you what Dragon Ball is and shows you what Akira Toriyama has done.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to be here on it too long because as much as I love the guy, we can't really dedicate the entire podcast to him, even though I would love to do that. We should talk about some other games that came out, especially one big one that came out recently, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I don't want to talk about story too much because I know that not everyone has gone through it too much because it's such a large game. But Gary, thoughts on it?
Oh yeah, I freaking love it, man. I absolutely love it right now. The combat is exceptional. The exploration is fun. I'm really enjoying it. It's very anime now, more so than the first game was, at least with its writing. You really feel it, and the overreactions and the anime, like, animations that the characters have and all that. But, God, it's more than I thought it was going to be, and that's awesome in every way.
Is it just me, as Yuffie basically female Naruto?
Probably, yeah. I guess you can say that.
I mean, kid Naruto, by the way. Like, she is so energetic and, like, outspoken and, like, she doesn't know when to shut up, but she's adorable. I love her.
Mm-hmm. I like how she just, like, essentially, she's under the belief that everybody is, like, on her side and agreeing with her when they don't even have a chance to answer her. So she just goes along as if they're already going to do what she wants them to do. Which I think is great. But yeah, no, like I said, so much to love about it. I do notice some of the issues that people have. Like, the game looks gorgeous from a distance, but then you really get up close to some textures and they are pretty bad. But it's nothing like people are saying, oh, this was like, I read something, like somebody said this looks like a PS3 game, and I was like, okay, like, you can keep saying that, but we'll get Uncharted 2 and 3. If you want to say PS3 games look bad, you're an idiot. But yeah, no, I love it. I really do. Everything has been fun so far.
I'm a little bit further than you in the game, by quite a bit, because I've been streaming it. But I've been enjoying every minute of it. The story's been great. The gameplay's been great. There's been a lot of mini games, I can understand why people get a bit frustrated with that. But so far, I've enjoyed pretty much every mini game I've played, especially Queen's Blood. Queen's Blood is so good. So yeah, I can't wait to continue playing the game. I think like 50 hours into the game so far, and it doesn't feel like it's going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm 25 hours in and I'm still in Junon, so
yeah.
That's how much there is to do.
I feel like the game has the even chapters has like really long content, and then the odd chapters are like small like story parts that lead you to the next part.
I know that once I get to, you know, the top of the build, the top of the city, yeah. I know there's going to be a lot of story beats. I won't be able to do a lot of the exploration and stuff, so I want to get it out of the way. And I know people are saying, oh, you can always go back when you finish the game and do all that stuff. I know, but it's the completionist in me that stops me from being able to do that. I try, and then in the back of my head, or when I look at the map, it says, oh, 3 or 5 quests completed. I'm like, I can't stand it. I need to complete it.
I'm still sad that I missed that one quest in Junon. I'm going to have to go back and do it, because I thought, oh, I can't find it. Maybe it's in Upper Junon, because I can't find it. And then it's not. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. So I will go back at some point to go do that. I've done most of the quests. That's the only one I'm missing, I think. So yeah. Oh. And I can't wait till you get to the gold saucer.
I don't know who I'm going to have on the date in that game, because so right now I seem to be doing everything that everybody wants me to do.
So I still happy don't have. I haven't had a single disappointment. I haven't even got to the date yet. So so far it looks like I'm either going to have Yuffie, Barrett, or Tifa, or Aerith.
Or all of them at once at the same time.
I think Tifa have the highest, but like I can't say no to Aerith because she's so sweet in this game. And then Barret's cool, and then Yuffie. I think I've annoyed Yuffie a few times, but like, yeah. Oh. In my head, it's always going to be Tifa and Cloud. That's who the pairing.
As it should be.
Though I would love to see Yuffie and Cloud go out for the friend date. Like, I don't think it's for me. If Yuffie went with Cloud for the wheel, and the gold source. I don't think it's an actual date. It's just like if a friend bugged. It's basically his little sister bugged them to go round the gold saucer because she saw that her big brother is feeling down. You understand what I mean?
Well, sure, Ren. I mean, sure, that's what you want to believe it is, but they specifically call it a date, so.
Yeah, well, they call a lot of things in this game dates that aren't dates. So, date can mean something completely different in other places than America.
Oh, I know. I mean, obviously, it's weird if, you know, he goes on a date with a dog or a cat. We don't know what Red 13 is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And creepy if he goes on a date with Yuffie, who's, you know, underage.
Only underage in America.
Oh, yeah, I guess you can say that. It's true. Right. Thanks for the correction, Ben. I know where your head's at.
Well, if Cloud was any older, I would find it more creepy, but consider that the age difference between Cloud and Yuffie, it's not that big of a age difference. So... if Cloud was in his 30s and that happened, then yeah, that would be really creepy. But consider the fact that Cloud is only, 4 years older?
Oh.
Like, and as I said, I saw as a big sister, big brother, little sister relationship more than an actual relationship, as Cloud deserves Tifa. So, and then
the fact that she's throwing herself at him in every cutscene and he's like all oblivious to it, like an idiot.
I mean, I think all the girls are, basically.
Well, I think Aerith is just doing it just to get a reaction out of him.
Yeah.
Because he's like a robot.
Yeah. But I think all the girls are throwing themselves at him. And sometimes I think Barra is throwing himself at him. Everyone just wants a piece of Cloud. But no, I am enjoying 7 Rebirth. It's been a lot of fun. And I can't wait to continue it. Thank you again to Square Enix for the code. Alfonso, any thoughts?
Trust me, Ben, I want to start it. I'm hearing good things about it. It sounds like a fantastic game, but with Dragon's Dogma coming out in 12 days, I don't want to do what Gary's doing right now in terms of, well, not what he's doing right now, but what he's being upset about, where you're trying to be the completionist and complete the game and you're missing stuff and you have to go back. And I do not want to start Final Fantasy and have to start Dragon's Dogma, and then go back to Final Fantasy and go back to DD and back. I don't want to do back and forth. I just want to stay with one game and finish it and move to the next one. And the way I feel, I want to start DD and get that over and probably go to Final Fantasy and then probably go to Rise of Ronin. That's how I'm picturing it right now in my head. So I think that's what I'm going to do. Oh, so many games coming out at the wrong time.
You say it's the wrong time. But is it?
No, Gary, it's the wrong time. It is definitely the wrong time.
No, I'm with you there. I'm like, Dragon's Dogma is everything right now. And have you seen? Well, let's get into Dragon's Dogma here for a second. They just released the character creator demo, so you can go download and create your character, which you can transfer to the final game. Have you seen the damn characters people are creating? To the fucking insane detailed accuracy of those characters.
Yeah.
It's making every other character creator look like a joke. Seriously. I've seen Gandalf. I've seen Mads Mikkelsen. To like the insane detail of the actual person. Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. The kid from Dune. I don't remember his name. I've seen him now. Let's see, I've seen Jamie Lannister and Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. Shaggy has been created now. Looks just like Shaggy, too. It's insane. They've gone out of control with this character creator because it's apparently so damn good. Have you downloaded? Have you tried it out?
I haven't. I didn't have a chance to, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It is ridiculous how detailed these models look.
There's no restriction. I thought they'd like be able to stop them from creating these real life type of figures, but no. People go on crazy. I love it. And yeah, like I'm seeing more videos coming out for it, and whew, it's just doing so much for me right now. I don't know. It's gonna be hard picking a game of the year right now, man. Because I can already tell Dragon's Dogma is going to be a contender for me, easily. I'm stoked. Let's see, Ben had to check out for a second. So let me find some newsy news. Oh, Stellar Blade! You know that game, Stellar Blade, with the hot character that everybody's raging about, Eve? Apparently, it is getting a demo, because a demo was published yesterday. An accident. It was available for a few minutes until it was pulled from the store. But people were still able to play it who managed to download it. But then Sony removed the license from them, which is another story for hopefully another time. But they pulled the demo because it went live too early, because apparently they're still fixing bugs in the demo, is what the rumors are saying. But people got hands on it. They played a little bit of it. Alfonso?
Yeah.
Did you see any of these videos of the demo? And are you excited for Stellar Blade in this demo?
I seen little bits of it, not fully that could really, like, explain. Like I said, gameplay-wise, from what we saw from the State of Play back in February, it looks good. Gameplay-wise, it looks good. But the story, it just looks so boring. Like, I was falling asleep during the presentation when they were showing the story because there was a lot of talking. I still want to get it because it still looks good. It looks gorgeous. I'm not sure if this is a day one for me, but I know eventually I will pick it up and play. I am impressed from the little bit I saw. I am impressed. It got me intrigued to, yes, this is a game I need to purchase. Again, not day one, but I will purchase.
Well, the demo will hopefully give you an opportunity to try it out, and then maybe it'll be like, holy shit, this is amazing. Day one. Look at that booty.
supposedly... I threw the
booty thing in there because that's what everybody's going to notice anyway. So,
supposedly it has like a really saucy outfit with the skin suit that people were talking about that I remember.
The video I saw when she came out of like the cocoon pod or whatever the hell it was, she was pulled out of it.
Yeah.
It looked like she just had pasties on. Like literally, that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, they're that close to the adults only rating and they're getting away with it. Hey, sex sells, man. I've been saying it for years.
I don't know if I'll get it. That was what I was going to actually say. I was going to mention. From what I've heard, the gameplay is more Souls-like than people thought it was going to be.
Ah, interesting.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Well, demo's going to come out. We'll all get to try it out and decide for ourselves, I guess. This might be one of those times where maybe a demo is not a good idea. If you say it's more Souls-like, that's probably going to turn a lot of people off. Because I think they're assuming it's going to be more like a Nier Automata combat or Devil May Cry Bayonetta. Type rather than... Or Bayonetta, yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably thinking it's more action-y like that rather than a more heavy combat system like the Souls games are.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Ben.
Thank you. Why is Phil Spencer trending?
Are you finally retire?
Oh, no, it's because... it's because, remember, he said that if they do well, then there's a huge chance we'll get more Xbox games on PlayStation, right? That's what he said, like, if they do really well, supposedly, then we'll get more. Even though, in reality, there's a huge chance a lot more games are planned. And he just said that because that's a good way of saying stuff, because you don't plan...
Yeah, you're not confirming anything, but you're confirming something.
You don't confirm stuff 2 years in advance, and then just go, and then, like, 6 months before release, go, no, we're not actually releasing anything. Like, anything that they're going to be planning to come over to PlayStation has probably already started development. They're not just going to look at sales and go, well, I guess not. I guess nobody wants it. They would have, like, a selection of games already being in the pipeline apart from these four. What those games are, I don't know. But there'd probably be a selection of games that are part... But anyway, this is rambling. The reason why it seems like he's trending is because, well, Sea of Thieves... Sea of Thieves is the top pre-ordered game on PlayStation right now. above Rise of Ronin, Elden Ring, and Dragon's Dogma 2, Sea of Thieves is number one in pre-orders. on PS5. So, we welcome you, Halo, to PlayStation.
And Starfield. And
yeah, and Starfield. I've been telling everyone.
It also doesn't help. It's also not helping that Pentiment is getting better reviews on PlayStation than it did on Xbox. Which is crazy because I think it was like a 92. I think it ended up like a 92 on Metacritic through Xbox scores. And it's getting better reviews on the Switch and PlayStation. So
Let me see if I can find my good Chaos Prime. He covers a lot of Xbox news mostly. Go check out Chaos Prime. He actually wants to be on the podcast at some point, so maybe we'll get him on.
No, I'm fine with it.
It was funny, like, Sea of Thieves has had issues with cheaters for years, and it's an old game now. Like, when did Sea of Thieves come out? Like,
I think it's like 5 years old now.
Yeah, 2018, so it's like, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
6 years old? And now that it's coming to PS5, it's getting anti-cheat on PC and that to stop cheaters.
Oh, maybe because Sony requires it. I don't know.
So he's like, yeah. Now it's kind of funny that, like, why is Xbox gamers being in second rate? Because it's not had anti-cheat or anything like that for like 6 years, and now that it's coming to Sony's PlayStation, now there's a worry about cheaters. So, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you now that I still feel like Starfield's coming to PlayStation, but they're waiting until the DLC comes out, and then going to give the DLC some time to breathe, and then they'll announce the PS5 version of Starfield. Maybe at Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest?
I'm going to say it's going to release on PlayStation November.
Yeah, but I mean announced at the event is what I mean, not like release then. Because the Summer Fest is July, right?
I think so, yeah. 23 was.
I can see it being announced around Summerfest, and then it'll be released in November. Because my friend Brian's like really excited for Blue Protocol this year. I'm like, I was until you realize that this is the year of the MMO, and if you want to release a new MMO, don't release it this summer. Just don't release it this summer. I don't care if it's a year late since the Japanese release of Blue Protocol. Just don't release an MMO this summer. Don't release an MMO this summer, please.
Well, even if it comes out, I heard it's doing really bad right now on PC.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, it's not even on PC in outside of Japan yet.
Well, it's not doing very well. It might not even come out.
Yeah, like, because this summer you've got ESO's expansion in June. You've got the Dawn Trail expansion for Fantasy 14 sometime this summer. And then you've also got World of Warcraft's new expansion this summer. Like, you've got a lot of MMOs hitting this summer. Don't release this summer. Probably not a good idea. Just don't. So, the big three are taking over this summer. I will say it's crazy that three MMOs are releasing an expansion in a period of a couple of months of each other. Actually, I'd like to know, what do you think of that, Gary? What thoughts on that?
On all those coming out this year?
Yeah, all three big MMOs all having an expansion in like a basically a month apart from each other.
How can I put this? It's the same thing I would say about any live service game trying to come out and compete with what we have now. Like, I hate to say it. Like, I don't want people to stop making these types of games. Especially if it's, you know, their passion project or they believe people will want to play these games. But you're not going to succeed. You have to do something insanely special to succeed. And obviously there's always going to be that. You look at Helldivers 2. That is an insane success story. But it's just, it's so impossible to even make a crack in the wall that these games have created to be the best. And I just don't see anything releasing that's going to compete against it. You know, it's, I don't know what else I can add to that. Like, if you think you can succeed with an MMO going up against those heavy hitters, like, your MMO better be like a 10 out of 10 to crack that wall and make a name for itself. So good luck if you do plan to release Blue Protocol around then. But not even your art style is going to help you now, because Genshin is around. Star Rail is around. They're going to be releasing Endless Zone Zero sometime this year, most likely as well. Withering Waves is coming out, which is making some waves in the games as a service as well. So, you know, it used to be, oh, your art style stands out. Then it's your gameplay mechanics stand out. Now, nothing really stands out. So, what are you going to do? Like I said, you have to do something really special. So, we'll see. We'll see if it's successful. I don't think it will be. If it can't even break through in Japan, if it's, like, dropping players badly right now in Japan, I don't know if it's going to be successful here. Especially since it's an Amazon game as well. You got to remember, Japanese companies and Japanese people trust their developers and their publishers more than they will ever trust anything being released that's not Japanese or Japanese made. So, yeah.
Okay. Before I go, have a little quick rant about Xbox again, because I want to, because I can do that. Alfonso, any thoughts for this?
Gary said it the best. It's going to be hard releasing it where you have other people who does it well, as right he said, Genshin, and what was the other one you mentioned? Star Rail. So I don't know, my best bet, they don't release it, like you said, Ben, don't release it in the summer, just wait. There's the thing, I don't know when is the best time for them to release it, but it's definitely not summer. Am I looking forward to it? Yeah, I am, but we'll just have to see when they release it. That's it.
Okay, I'm gonna have a little rant about Xbox quickly, because I can and I have that power. I don't know if any of you know, but they recently announced the release date for Fantasy 14 on Xbox. They've announced when it's coming out, which I think was like March 21st, is when the official release of the Fantasy 14 version of, yeah, it comes out to Xbox. My rant is that that's good. Fine. I'm happy with Xbox finally getting the ability to play Fantasy 14. But as I've said before, it sucks that they're forcing people to have Game Pass Core when you don't need PlayStation Plus for Fantasy 14. I've ranted on that already. That's already a rant that's gone and happened. Like, it's frustrating that you need that, but, you know, most people who have an Xbox probably have Game Pass Core or Game Pass Ultimate. My new rant is that they're now giving away a starter edition as part of a bonus with Game Pass Ultimate for, I think it's 1 month. You've got 1 month to claim the starter edition of Final Fantasy 14 on Game Pass. Now, you're thinking, but Chili, they're giving away a copy of the game for free. How is that a bad thing? That should be a good thing. That should be celebrated. The Xbox players, are you just salty that PlayStation's not getting this Star Edition? No, the big issue is the Star Edition of Fantasy 14 includes Heavensward, A Realm Reborn, and Stormblood. Those three expansions, A Realm Reborn 2.0, Heavensward 3.0, Stormblood 4.0. Now, the issue with this is the free trial, which is also free, as you can tell by the name of the free trial, includes A Realm Reborn, Heavensward, and Stormblood. So, if you are playing through the game for the first time, and you pick up the Star Edition, you then, after the first 30 days, have to pay a subscription fee because it's a purchased game. So, you are locked into the sub fee after the first 30 days, because the first 30 days are free. You get that for free. So, if you're trying it for the first time, it's better to start and wait for play the free trial than it is to purchase the Star Edition. But because a lot of people will see Starter and think, oh, well, I'm thinking about buying this game. I don't want to, you know, I don't want the free trial. I'm going to be playing with friends. I want the Starter Edition. Well, that means then you're locked out of never having the free trial, which means you then have to start paying monthly as soon as the 30 days are over. So I feel like it could trick a few people into having to spend money there's a chance that they don't have to spend money on yet. Sorry about that rant. I hope that was okay. And did everyone get my issue?
So basically you're telling me the better deal is to play it on PlayStation?
Well, yeah. Or the better deal was just to play the free trial and do that. And then if you're starting the game, this is if you're a new player, by the way. If you're not a new player, then yeah, of course, it's a decent deal. But if you're not a new player, there's a huge chance you're a Bowser Star Edition anyway, so you have to buy the game anyway. But yeah, it is a better deal to play on PlayStation because you don't need Plus, so you can just play it without having to subscribe to Sony's service. You just have to subscribe to Square Enix because Final Fantasy XIV has its own subscription. So yeah. Yeah, Alfonso, yes, it is a better deal to play on PlayStation or PC than it is or Mac. Than it is on Xbox. Gary.
You know, Microsoft could have had a big win here. A big win. You know, they could have just said they could have had a big win in a way where they could have just paid for the subscription of Final Fantasy XIV through Game Pass. Like if you had, you know, Game Pass Ultimate, for example, right? Well, is that their biggest one?
Yes.
Ultimate, yeah, if people subscribed, if people just subscribed to Game Pass Ultimate, Final Fantasy XIV would be free for them. Like they would not pay the Final Fantasy XIV subscription fee. Like Microsoft would just take that out. That could have been a massive win for them. Massive win. Because right now, you know, I just don't see the player base of 14 having an insane spike through Xbox, especially when there are so many hurdles to it. You know, people don't want to pay two subscription prices to play one game. You know, Final Fantasy XIV is what? $12.99? $13.99 a month? I don't remember now.
It depends on what subscription fee you want, because there is an entry and a starter fee. The entry fee is more expensive. The starter fee is more expensive. No.
There's the monthly fee for it to continue to play it.
I'm going to check the American fee right now, because I think it's like £9 for me.
I think it's
$12.99.
Yeah. So not only are you paying almost, you know, $13 and some change with taxes or whatever, but then you also have to pay for whatever Xbox Core is, Game Pass Core.
I think that's $8.
Yeah, so you're already paying $20 a month just to play Final Fantasy XIV. That's not right.
Sorry, it's $15.
Oh, you're paying like $25 then to play Final Fantasy XIV.
$12.99 is the entry fee, where you can have 8 characters and 8 max characters per data center. And then the $15 allows you to have 40 characters. But so you could pay $2 left if you want to. You don't really need that many characters. But the standard fee is $14.99.
Okay, so essentially like $25. Let's just say that for both subscriptions. $25 to play that game. Like, you have to be the most hardcore fan on it. Like, you better be. What was that?
$10 for Game Pass Core.
Okay. But you have to be. You better be that guy who's constantly ranting about, I need Final Fantasy on my Xbox. You better be paying that fucking fee to play that. And don't be blaming Square for it. Blame Microsoft, because they want that shit to be on Game Pass. It's crazy to me. Like I said, I don't see... maybe for the first few months, you'll see a big increase in numbers because of that free trial and all that. But after that, I don't see a huge success for 14 on Xbox. Maybe because it's just too late. Like, I think people... I don't see people migrating from, like, if they've been a PC player or a PlayStation player. I don't really see them migrating to Xbox to play that
game.
Okay.
If you remember, the Star Edition's only free on Game Pass Ultimate. It's not free on Game Pass Core. It's an Ultimate perk. So, do you want to know how much it would cost you to buy Game Pass Ultimate and pay for the month if you want the expansion for the Star Edition for free? The Starter Edition for free. That, by the way, has the same content as the free trial. It's just the free trial has more limitations, of course. And that's not because they don't want to have, that's not because they're like, aha, it's a free trial. It's just that they don't, yeah, if they have no limitations on the free trial, imagine how many bots they're going to be on the free trial. It's going to be bot central. They're going to have, they have to have limits to try and stop, you know, illegal farmers. I looked, and this is a rough price estimate based on, I've rounded everything up, okay? Like, I've rounded up everything by a cent, because I can't be asked doing the 9.99. It will cost you $32 a month, Gary, to do Final Fantasy 14 on Xbox.
Insanity. You gotta be an idiot to migrate over to and play on Xbox. Or you're rich.
But you gotta do $32 a month to do the Xbox version of Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah,
as I said, you could do the core, which would be a little bit cheaper, but even then, that's only, what, 25, that's that, then $25 a month, or 26, $25-$26 a month, at the current pricing, because remember, Game Pass could go up at any time.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 14 has never gone up in price, really. Like, it's gone up a little bit in Europe, but that's not because the price has gone up. It's just that the currencies have changed, and they've gone up because of that. Like, if currencies change, I have no argument about a company changing pricing based on local currency exchanges over time. If it's swung a lot, like, I'm still surprised that mounts are so cheap in UK because of, like, well, I guess it's not too bad now, but like, for about a couple of years now, the mounts in the UK was like quarter the price of the American version, because our currency was, you know, so different compared to when they first came out. Like, when that happens, I understand, but like, no. Oh
yeah, like I think this is a bad move from Square Enix. I think this is a very bad move. I think this is going to hurt them. It's going to cost them a lot of money that they're never going to get back. That Game Pass money that Microsoft probably promised Square Enix will hopefully help them through this for a couple years, because this is going to be a disaster.
I still don't think it's the Game Pass money. I think it's the servers. I think it's the servers that Microsoft promised them more than anything, because they're working on making cloud login servers to help try and, basically, they want to use cloud login servers for when there's spikes of logins during big releases, like, so that there's not as many, like Endwalker had like a, for some people, like a 5-hour login queue because of how many people were logging at once. Mm-hmm. They're trying to use cloud login servers so that they have the ability to expand their login during those peak hours, so that that way they can try and get more people onto the game as possible. And so I wouldn't, as I said on a lot of different podcasts and a lot of different chats, I feel like one of the deals that Microsoft made was like, okay, you can use our Azure servers at a discount, but we want Xbox version of Final Fantasy 14. And because Square is in a bind with that they, you know, they accepted. Yeah.
Okay, well, I hope it's worth it. I really do, because revenue from Xbox is not going to come in. It's going to cost them more money to operate that game on Xbox than they're going to get back. I just think it's a bad move. I really do. I think, you know, getting the server stuff, I get that. But I think you can also find other ways to do that. I see this going really bad. Like, now, don't I fully expect them to release a statement saying that 14 is underperforming on Xbox. Yeah. And they're going to post some sort of loss because of that. I guarantee it's going to happen. It's too much of a hassle.
Yeah.
$30 to play this game. $30. No way.
I gave now it too Square. Much.
Yeah. Now, Square, please. Okay. This is one thing I am hoping, and please don't screw Xbox players with this. Please. Like, I am begging you, Square. Currently, if you, like, how previous games work, previous expansions worked, you got the previous expansion. So if you bought Endwalker, you got Shadowbringers, but you only got access to Shadowbringers the moment Endwalker came out. Now, I am begging Square, because we do not have a release date or a release, well, we have a release window of summer for Dawn Trail. I hope that they've, on March 23rd, which is 2 days after the beta ends for Xbox, I really hope that the Xbox version goes into like a, maybe a 48-hour maintenance, maybe, and they announce the release pre-orders open for Dawn Trail for the digital edition. Like, I know they won't release the, announce the physical edition because they've got a, another announcement coming up soon, but I hope they say the digital version of Dawn Trail will be going live on all different platforms that you can pre-order now. And if you pre-order it, you gain access to Endwalker. Now, this will be scammy in a way, because then I hope they also announce that they will be announcing the physical edition coming out in, because they've announced that on the 12th of April there's going to be another 14-hour Fantasy 14 broadcast, which where they'll probably announce a collector's edition and release date of Dawn Trail. But I don't want Xbox players to have to buy Endwalker and then a few months later then also have to buy Dawn Trail. I feel like that's kind of unfair for Xbox players. So I'm hoping they announce that Dawn Trail pre-orders are live soon, just so that people on Xbox don't have to wait for months, because otherwise they'll have to buy Endwalker. Now, if they've given Endwalker for free on Game Pass Ultimate, that'd be an amazing deal, especially for people that already have Fantasy 14. So that way, if you want to switch over to Xbox, there's no upfront cost. You just, it's just the monthly fee, which you're already paying, and then Game Pass. So, but we'll see. We'll find out March 22nd. So in a couple of weeks, what happens? No. Saturday 23rd, March 22nd is the Fantasy 16 panel. So yeah, we'll find out in a couple of weeks what happens. That's all my ranting.
No, you're fine, man. I have a rant of my own on it. Like, I also feel bad for anybody getting into that game right now, starting from the beginning. I can't even imagine. Like, they'll be so overwhelmed with how much content there is. They wouldn't even know where to start and where to end. I know this because I've experienced this. Like, if you don't start with the launch of an MMO or a games as a service game, and you join in like 2-3 years later, it's so overwhelming, you'll probably quit. I promise you this. This happens all the time. It happens to me all the time. And not only this isn't a 2-3 year head start that they have. This game came out on the PS3. Remember that? It's a fucking PS3 game.
Yeah, they celebrated 10 years last year.
It's 10 years of content. 10 years of content that people have to catch up on if you're going in for the first time on Xbox. Like, oh, this game has been praised for so long, I'm going to go. You'll be so overwhelmed with shit, you won't even know where to start. And you won't even know what to do next. Like, oh, Coil Bahama, let me go do that. And you somehow, luckily, if you can even find a team to do it with. Because everybody's doing the harder fights with that now. Or they've just moved on from it. It's not even content to them anymore.
No. Like, no. That's a lie, Gary. No. People still do stuff like that all the time. Yeah?
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you if you look on Party Finder, you'll still see... that's one good thing about this game, is the fact that you actually get rewards for joining people that are new to the content. Like, if you join a group that has someone that is new to the fight, you will get bonus rewards on top of the normal rewards for doing it. And those rewards are normally, those tomes are normally used for, like, other content that you can purchase if you want to.
Okay, since you're going to be in the game, Ben, I really hope you're able to find some way of showing me or anybody of how many new players are doing that and how much of it is being completed.
Well, currently there won't be that many because everyone in the current Xbox version are in the free trial, and free trial has limitations on party groups. So until the full release comes out, I can't tell you. We won't know for certain.
No, in the future.
Yeah, in the future.
When it's all out, and especially when Dawn Trail comes out, like, is anybody going to be helping you with Coil Bahamut when they're doing new expansion shit?
Not in the first couple of weeks, no. Not in the first couple of weeks.
So then you'll be stuck. It's a good thing they're releasing these single-player dungeons now that you can do with bots. That's phenomenal work for Square Enix.
Everything's... No, everything is All of them. Every dungeon can now be done single player. Every dungeon.
Good for them.
The only thing you can't do is alliance raids and raids. You have to grow in the group for those, but that's fair. And even then, the only alliance raid that's story locked is the Crystal Tower series, which you need to do for Storm Shadowbringers. You have to do the Crystal Tower series raids for Shadowbringers, which they've said that because of that, they're planning to hopefully... make that a bot-based raid as well, hopefully. That's the plan. They're not focusing on it. It's not something that they're guaranteed to do, but they hope to do it so that people can go for the entire story campaign solo if they want to. And talking about raids, like, you know, the only ones you can't do with this is Coil, but every raid is also part of the raid roulette, Gary, which you unlock at end game. And then when you queue up for raid roulette, it puts you up in any of the random raids from level 60 to 90. So you do that daily for your end game times anyway.
Which for new players, they're going to be like, what the fuck is end game? When they finish it and they're like, oh, the Heavensward, the story continues. Oh, Stormblood, what's the end game here? Where am I at?
200 hours later.
Am I in the end game yet?
So anyway, that's all my news and stuff. Has anyone got anything that they want to bring up?
Yes, I think we should talk a little bit about some more stuff here, Ben, if that's okay with you. I had something here. Oh! The fantastical world of Warner Brothers Interactive have officially declared themselves a games as a service company now. They are moving fully into all their games being games as a service and moving away from single player experiences because the numbers have dictated that being stupid is being smart in their world.
You already need to check those numbers again.
Yeah, deeming Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. Not meeting sales expectations, being a disappointment to them. And Hogwarts Legacy being the best-selling game of the year of last year. Making it, I believe, the second best-selling game on current-gen consoles as well. Selling, I think they're at like 23 million units now. Fucking wild. But apparently, those numbers are not as successful as the disappointing numbers of Suicide Squad, which they haven't released the numbers of. But Warner Brothers Interactive have said now that they are fully going into games as a service, and that's what you can expect from all future titles. Which probably means Wonder Woman is going to have some form of games as a service. I know it started off as a single-player game, but they'll probably include service stuff for it now. Alfonso, your thoughts on this insane backwards logic that Warner Brothers has?
I don't understand. I don't. You're telling me, Gary, you're telling me that some way down the road, future Batman games are going to be live service games? No. I can't. This makes no sense to me. What are they thinking? We seen it already, okay? We seen it with Marvel's Avengers. That did terrible. Okay, we see it with Gotham Knights. Terrible. Suicide Squad. Terrible. Nobody wants this. It doesn't matter if it's superhero. It's not working. No matter what type of genre you try to put with live service, it doesn't work. The examples I just gave are examples. They need to stop. Go back to single player because that's what works. I don't like this. I'm telling you now, if this does happen, you say it will, but if it's like 100% confirmed, in terms of WB, I don't think I could ever play another WB game again if it goes down that road.
Yeah. Kind of sad, isn't it?
Ben? It's devastated.
To be fair, the only WB game I'm excited for is a live service anyway, so I can't really say anything.
Make me.
Right. I'm excited for Multiverses.
Speaking of, Multiverses is set to make its re-debut this Monday. Or 2 days ago, as you listen to this. obviously, the game went offline from its early access. It's, I think, last year. It's been quiet since that happened. Like, zero information, zero news. People thought it was done for, dead, never coming back. But it is. This Monday will be a re-reveal. Apparently, they're going to have a collaboration with McDonald's Kids Meals, which is pretty cool. So you'll probably get Multiverses figures from Kids Meals at McDonald's.
I don't think they do figures anymore, right?
Well, they do. They did Sonic and Hedgehog figures.
Yeah.
And Pokemon recently as well. They had a Pokemon collaboration recently. People were crazy. They had to stop selling it because adults would come in and demanding kids' meals. And they're like, they're for kids. They're like, I don't give a shit. Give me my Pikachu toy. It was wild, man. They had to literally stop selling kids' meals to anybody who was an adult that wasn't with a child.
Yeah.
Ben, you're excited for Multiverses. Are you going to buy the kids' meals?
I mean, no, because I haven't eaten at McDonald's for decades. Now, if it was at Wendy's.
Oh, yeah. Ben will fly to America to buy kids' meals and then fly back. I flew to America, kids' meal. I got a flight in 3 hours. Please give me my kids' meal.
imagine what would happen if like someone did that. Like, they flew to America to for the. Like, would they? They're like, well, we're not giving it adults, but that adult just traveled like 6,000 miles.
Wild, man. I see you doing it too. Like, it's not even. It's not even a question of if, Ben. A question of when. When will you do it?
3,400 miles to New York. So, yeah, that person flew 3,500 miles for a kid's meal. And I know we said no adults, but what about this one?
Well,
why are you here in America, sir? To buy a kids' meal. What else? Yes.
Well, it doesn't get any better for Warner Brothers, at least in Alfonso and I's eyes, I guess. Warner Brothers Discovery is also set to pull and delist every video game that was created under the Adult Swim brand, which includes Samurai Jack and Adventure Time and so many others. They will be pulled and delisted permanently from all game stores. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but they're doing it. Alfonso.
Whoa. What they got against Samurai Jack and Adventure Time? Like, seriously, I'm confused. Like, seriously, ever since this merger, they've been doing a lot of bullshit that I'm trying to still figure out to this day, and I just can't compute what the hell are they thinking. Like, what is really going on in their minds? This makes no sense. No reason on why they're doing this. You know,
as David Zaslav, the pile of garbage that runs the company now.
Fuck. Honestly, I don't know what to say. I honestly don't know what to say. I'm just baffled.
Yeah. That's a lot of games. I think it's like 30 or so games.
Yeah.
Ben, anything you want to add?
Not that, no, nah. Sorry, I just saw a spicy picture on Twitter and I'm distracted.
Yeah. Is it a Tifa?
No, it's Astinian from Final Fantasy 14, and he's naked, but with the dragon eyes covering his bits.
The things Ben looks at. Fantastic, man. I think that's all that I have.
It's been sold, by the way, as well. You can buy this at a con if you want to buy Dragon Eye Astinian. He's got shoes on. I guess he's not completely naked. He's got shoes on. What's that? What is it? Are we over now? Are we done?
I guess so. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I go cook, eat dinner? Well, I've cooked dinner, but can I go eat dinner?
not until you do Metacritic.
Which, by the way, there's no scores for the two games that we haven't got scores for right now. Johan the Parhelion and Star Wars Dark Forces Remaster both don't have Metacritic scores. So,
well, hell, man.
Yeah. So, the ones I've found, I think, are coming out soon. Outcast, A New Beginning. That's coming out soon, right?
Yes.
Gary.
74.
Alfonso.
77.
62. Contra Operation Gongaga. Nah, we wish. Contra Operation Galuga. Gary.
70.
Alfonso.
73.
Hey, just because you're next to me by two numbers doesn't mean you're going to always win, man.
You know, I'm going to go 80. I feel less.
You know? Hey, you never know, okay?
You're giving an 80 to a Konami game?
Yeah.
Wow. Good on you.
Operation Gongaga is going to get 80.
It's made by Way4. They're really good.
Yeah. Dragon's Dogma 2.
100.
Because I...
Wow. Wow.
Alfonso.
I wasn't serious.
You said it, I put it down.
Oh my god, that's not fair.
Alfonso.
92.
Hey, you still got a chance, Gary, okay?
No, I don't.
95. If it's 96 or above.
Oh, yeah, it's Zelda quality right there, man.
I'm going to go with 83. I'm going to go with 83.
You're welcome, Alfonso. I just handed you one.
Yeah, I'm very ashamed of you. The game that you said is your game, and you're going to jeopardize that quickly.
Dude, no game is ever going to get 100. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, but as long as it's higher than 96... It still could.
Okay.
It's still a check. Like, Rebirth was 92. You know, if it's much better than Rebirth, then, you know.
It is in my eyes. In my eyes, it is 100. But I also know Metacritic.
This is Metacritic, not in my eyes.
If everybody gave it a 10 out of 10 and was sitting at 100, one piece of dumpster crap will come in with a 6 and drop the score to like an 85. So that's how their system is set up.
Yeah. Anyway, Gary, shout out to how they can find you, because I want to go eat, because I'm hungry.
Shout out to you guys. Thanks for having me. Shout out to all the listeners. Shout out to the Dragon's Dogma team. I hope you get 100. You deserve it. It's been 12 years.
Shout out to how can they find you?
Shout out to you guys. Thank you for having me on. If I'm gonna say this, if Gary does get 96 over 96 to 100, I will give my points to him.
Okay,
because this is wild. This is wild. You heard it on the podcast. This is wild. Yes, I am confirmed. If he wins, I will give my point. I will donate my points to him. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexChan7.
Nice. I ain't gonna do that because I only have 2 points. So no, I'm good. You can find me at MG_Chili on Twitter. You can find me at MoogleGarden Radio on Twitch. I'll be back next week, where I don't know if the scores are for Dragon's Dogma, Ben, but we'll find out in a couple of weeks at least what that gets. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and goodbye. Bye.
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 Goodbye.